Item three, update on, from our investment consultants regarding finalists for this morning.
Seth is also gonna weigh in on this one.
Yeah, Tim starts this one.
I just can't shut up, so I gotta be up here too.
That's the biggest pile there, so.
Unfortunately. So we're gonna be hearing from four private equity firms today. The, just wanna walk through a little bit the genesis of this search and how we got to this point, especially for the newer board members, because this all came out of a staff memo that was issued last December. So it's, it goes back a little ways now. In that memo, we basically talked about the pacing of investments to private equity. And private equity, generally speaking, it includes venture capital and buyouts. They're in limited partnership structure, so you commit the money is drawn down, committed to underlying funds, and then it's returned to you over the course of about 10 years. So they're very long-lived assets. So you have to have a pacing schedule that basically says, this is how much we can commit now, this is what our expectations are for the money to come back, and this is how we foresee getting up to our target allocation. We've got a target allocation of 10%, we're at about 6.5% now. So we had a plan in place with the board that said roughly we look at $200 million in commitments in 2013, $200 million in commitments in 2014, and it scaled that back to more of a sustainable rate of about $150 million in 2015. Earlier this year, we made an additional commitment to Pathway Capital of $70 million. That was the first big tranche of the private equity for the year. And we said, in addition to our large relationships with Pathway and Adam Street on the fund-to-fund side, we recommended adding a third leg that would focus, a fund-to-funds manager that would focus on the smaller end of the scale. And that's where we are today, looking at four firms that focus on the smaller end, primarily on the buyout side of the equation. I'm going to distribute some notes I have on the firms here, and really this is just intended to have some highlights of what I'm seeing as some of the huge issues and healthy questions more than anything else of these firms. The one thing I do want to address, and you're going to see this under the fee section, there is I talk about the possibility of strategic relationships. It's something we haven't done in the past. But what I'm looking at, what I've asked every firm to do, is they've all come back with a fund offering for the most part. But some of them offered up separate accounts as well. And they were basing that allocation on a $50 million commitment initially. Given that we intend these to be very long-term relationships, and what we've done with Adam Street and Pathways about every 2 to 3 years, go out and do some additional due diligence on the firm, if they were still happy with the firm, make an additional commitment. What I've asked each of the four firms to consider is the possibility of giving them the guidance on basically how much we would commit over the course of three funds, if we can give them that guidance up front in a customized structure where we have the option to pause the investment program at any point in time. What can they do for us economically? So there have been some discussions behind the scenes to say, kind of explore that. I don't want that to be a guiding point of selecting the right manager. It's much more important to select the right team that you can work with, who's got the right access, and then once the board's made a selection, I can work with them on possible alternative structures to lower the fees for Cicera. But you'll probably hear, if any of the four firms mention strategic relationships or longer term partnerships, that's what they're talking about. But that's going to be behind the scenes. I would bring that back to the board as alternative structures. You've got standard fund structures that they all work. I'm just seeing if we can possibly lower the fees behind the scenes. So that's what you should be aware of there. And with the bell, I'll
your muffins quiet. Are done.
Now, as Tim mentioned, this is a long-term commitment. The fund that you might choose today, you may be an investor in for more than 10 years. You're likely to be an investor in for more than 10 years. More than most marriages on average would last. And you'll probably use this person as a strategic partner and be involved in subsequent funds. So it's a very long-term commitment. There are four finalists, and they're all really good finalists. They're quite different, but they're all good finalists. We started with a field of 39 candidates. We got RFP questionnaires back from 39 candidates, read through those, sifted it down, and then you selected these four from seven that we brought to you for consideration. In terms of size and track record, Bay Hills and Singular Guff started about 7 years ago. So they are the youngest firms. With those firms, you'd have more key person risk, you would have more perhaps firm risk. But these are young firms, very aggressive, excellent results. Horsley Bridge is on the other end of the spectrum. They started 25 years ago. They're a mid-sized firm. The employees there are putting in more than $5 million of their own money. They're not borrowing money from the firm to do it. They're putting in their own money. So there's a really strong alignment of interest there. J.P. Morgan has the largest fund, largest operation in terms of number of people. They started that fund 16 years ago, and it's had very good results. They also have a separate U.S. European fund, so you can do a blend of that and get international exposure that way. Page 7 in the report shows the team size and the assets, and you can see that in this strategy, J.P. Morgan has $5.4 billion in the strategy, where Bay Hills is the smallest with roughly $600 million, and Horsley with roughly $1 billion, and Sigler Guff with $900 million. So certainly a spectrum. These all have top quartile or better returns compared to their peers. Page 10 has a fee comparison that you might find interesting. And they, in discussions that Tim will have, this may change some. But really, if you can tell the difference, if you believe that you have a difference in results, that'll be more powerful than the difference in fees. But fees certainly helps. And on page 11 and 12, we show the overlap that the candidates have with the current managers, Adam Street and Pathway. And we plot that on a graph on page 12. So the overlap being the vertical and the size of business on the horizontal axis. So Sigler Guff has both the least overlap and the smallest companies. And you'll find less efficient prices in small companies. There are less bidders out there, so there's more opportunity. It's just that it's kind of a fixed amount of work to buy a company to some extent. And it's a lot of effort. So people tend to ideally, you'd want to do big companies because you get this big hit in terms of being a manager. But for the investor, you get an advantage of having a less efficient market, more mispriced. You may be the only buyer out there that's really looking at the candidate. So those are things I wanted to highlight.
And I think once we got down to the finalists here, this cluster on page 12, everybody's pretty solid here. There's you'd be hard-pressed to make a statistical significance difference in anybody here. They're all playing in the smaller end. They all have very low overlap with existing managers.
How much money are we looking at now? Are we going to choose one or more than one, or do we have that option?
You have that option. The recommendation would be for one. If we're going to go into their funds, it would be an initial dollar amount of $50 million, and then we would be looking at scaling that up over the next two fund cycles.
Okay. And what about that J.P. Morgan? I think I heard in the news like $13 or $15 billion settlement that didn't go through.
Yeah.
How is that going to impact our business with them?
Great question for them, but I think, yeah, I hate saying this, but that's a relatively small fine given the size of J.P. Morgan.
Okay.
Hard to see how it has a material impact on this line of their business, other than reputational risk.
You do have some headline risk, but you're already in J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
So
that's already embedded in the portfolio.
Yeah.
But if you're not comfortable with that, that should help guide your discussions today.
Bay Hills and Horsley Bridge are their business is private equity. J.P. Morgan does everything. Sigler Guff does a few things for you. So that's a differentiator. You go from very small to very large. So, see, we don't think they're too small, but they're on the small side of the Bay Hills in particular. So you're seeing a variety of people.
And that's something you're going to have to consider. Are you more comfortable with a larger organization with a large legal staff and back office staff? Or are you more comfortable with a smaller focused organization where a lot of the ancillary services have probably been outsourced or done by a single person?
And both Bay Hills and Horsley Bridge are local. They're in San Francisco.
They're what?
In San Francisco.
Local.
They're local.
Does that matter? I was going to ask that question. I mean, you've got two New York firms and two Bay Area firms, so.
We've got a lot of New York firms already.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a burden to have another New York firm. It's nice to have somebody local. You might see them more often. If if that's something that's of value to you, consider it, but it's...
How much do we currently...
It's an FYI more
than... Well, it'd be more a question of it's, if it's of value to you in terms of the contact and the week-to-week, day-to-day, whatever.
My contact with the investment management firms is overwhelmingly done via phone and email, so I'm relatively agnostic about where they're located.
How much do we currently have with Sigler Guff and other funds?
$150 million in aggregate commitments.
And how much with J.P. Morgan and other?
232. I think it's on there. The percentage of the fund is on there as well. So I think it's 4% of our total fund is with J.P. Morgan in that last column with the global equity. Yeah. And of the money that we've committed to the Sigler Guff real estate funds, we've got about $50 million of the Fund 1 commitment, 50 or I think it's closer to 60 now with additional drawdowns. And then we did the additional commitment not that long ago, which hasn't been drawn yet. So while there's two relationships with Sigler Guff, they're relatively small dollar amounts.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. As soon as we can have them come in, thank you.